By 30 seconds, people were beginning to get a little uncomfortable. Obviously, they had seen this sort of thing happen before, and had some idea of what to expect. Nearly a minute passed before the man emerged. I'd already been told what happened to glider pilots who went too deep, but I hadn't imagined it could be that bad. But the man had gone very far into the mist. The pressure and temperature had been too much for the flimsy protection of his suit. He had died, boiled alive within a few seconds. The camera lingered on his corpse, lovingly mapping the horror of what had happened to him. I felt revolted and looked away from the image. I'd seen some bad things during my years as a soldier, but never while sitting at a table digesting a large and luxurious meal. Sibylline shrugged. Well, he should have used a shorter line. Afterwards, we walked back across the stalk to the landing deck where Sibylline's cable car was still waiting. Well, Tanner, where can we take you? She said. I wasn't exactly enjoying their company, I had to admit. It had begun badly, and though I was grateful for the sightseeing trip to the stalk, the cold way they had responded to the deaths of the mist jumpers had left me wondering whether I wouldn't have been better off with the pigs they had mentioned. But I couldn't throw away a chance like this. I take it you're heading back to the canopy at some point. She looked pleased. If you want to come with us, it's absolutely no problem. In fact, I insist on it. Well, don't feel any obligation. You've been generous enough as it is. But if it won't inconvenience you... Not at all. Get in the car. The vehicle opened before me, Fischetti getting in the driver's compartment and the rest of us in the back. We lofted. The cable car's motion began to feel familiar, if not actually comfortable. The ground dropped away quickly. We reached the interstices of the canopy and settled into a semi-regular rhythm as the car picked its route along one of the main cableways. That was when I started to think I really should have taken my chances with the pigs. Well, Tanner, did you enjoy your meal? Sibylline asked. Like you said, it's a hell of a view. Good, you needed the energy, or at least you will need it. Deftly, she reached into a compartment set into the car's plush and pulled out a nasty little gun. Well, to state the obvious, this is a weapon and I'm pointing it at you. 10 out of 10 for observation. I looked at the gun. It appeared to be made out of jade and was embossed with red demons. It had a small dark maw and she was holding it very steadily. The point being, Sibylline continued, that you shouldn't think of doing anything untoward. If you wanted to kill me, you could have done it dozens of times already. Yes, but there's just one flaw in your thinking. We do want to kill you, just not in any old manner. I should have felt immediate fear as soon as she pulled out the gun, but there'd been a delay of a few seconds while my mind assimilated the situation and decided it was probably just as bad as it appeared. What are you going to do to me? Sibylline nodded at Waverley. Can you do it here? I've got the tools, but I'd far rather do it back at the airship. Waverley nodded at her. You can keep that gun pointed until then, can't you? I asked what they were going to do to me again, but all of a sudden no one seemed very interested in what I had to say. I'd walked into big trouble, that much was obvious. Waverley's story of shooting me to protect me from the pigs hadn't ever sounded more than halfway convincing, but who had I been to argue? I'd kept telling myself that if they had wanted me dead... Nice line, but like Sibylline had said, there was a certain flaw in my thinking. It didn't take very long to reach the trapped airship. As we swung